The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Did briefly say hello to Mike Schilt yesterday. Of course, we've got our manager's report with Mike Schilt coming up this Friday at 9 a.m.
I hope they win some games between now
and then. I do too. Manager's report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Possible topic in my mind. I'm curious how this played out. And maybe, well, definitely Mike Schilt will protect his players because that's what he always does. But I am curious if I could know the real story of the bottom of the ninth inning.
Sure.
So game is tied at six. Robert Suarez just got through the top of the ninth. I think we all know you don't want to go to the 10th if you're the Padres. You want to end it right there. Don't give the Dodgers another chance. Even at the bottom of their lineup, dangerous. Don't give them another chance. Find a way to score a run. Quickly, though, 8-9 hitters. Padres go down. So you got two outs, nobody on. And Fernando Tatis Jr., works his way on with a walk, a two-out walk. He is facing, who's in the game for the Dodgers at that point?
Kirby Yates,
right. So, Luis Arraez comes up. Now, with Tatis on first, it's not impossible that Luis Arraez can bring him home. Tatis is very fast, and, you know, we just saw Arraez double at the end of the game to tie that one on Saturday in Milwaukee. You know, he can find a line every once in a while. But I would say the obvious best chance for Luis Arraez to win the game is for Fernando Tatis Jr. to use his speed to steal second base and then for Tatis to easily single him home. In fact, I have, even with Arraez slumping, and he's hitting like 210 in the month of June here. It's not good. But even with Arraez slumping, probably no one I'd rather have up in the game who needs a single. All you need is a single, then give me Luis Arraez every day of the week.
Yep.
That's who I want up there. So if Tatis gets to second, then you've got a chance with Luis Arraez, the best singler in all of baseball, to win the game for you. It's a pretty good situation to be, honestly, if you're the San Diego Padres. This is how Mike Schilt kind of wants to draw it up.
The right guy at second with the right amount of speed and the right guy at the plate for a single.
Certainly,
it worked out. It would have worked out perfect.
Dave Roberts knows this. Kirby Yates knows this. So first pitch, they throw over to first. You know, Tatis dives back. All right, they're watching for it, but hey, with the bigger bases and you know, with Fernando's speed, sometimes you just can't stop it. Second pitch, Fernando then takes off and gets a good jump. He is sprinting towards second. I don't know 100% that he's going to make it. I have a feeling he was going to make it. Luis Arraez, though, swings. At a pitch, hey, it was a good pitch to hit, a pitch down the middle, and flies out to end the inning. So we'll never know what would have happened. But I to me, just seems like almost 100% you have to take that pitch and let Fernando have his chance to get to second base to drive him in.
He got such a good jump. I don't know. I guess, you know, Louis being in the left batter's box, like if he just didn't see it.
Even if he gets a bad jump, even if you think he's going to be out, you could say, well, try to foul it off, whatever, save him. If Fernando Tatis Jr. makes the third out at second base, guess what? Fernando starts the 10th inning at second, and you've got Luis Arraez up.
Yep.
It's not the worst. It's
same
not the
scenario,
worst
but with no outs.
Scenario, yeah, to then start your 10th inning with a chance of the rally. You don't know what the Dodgers are going to do. That's not the worst situation either. But now, instead, Arraez flies out on the first pitch, and now he's the guy out at second base with less speed. Now, he did end up scoring on Jackson Merrill's double, but you needed two runs, and you didn't win that game. Why on earth Luis Arraez did not take that pitch? I mean, he takes so many first pitches. He's the best two-strike hitter in baseball. He doesn't care if he gets behind in the count a little bit. Sometimes
no.
he's actually better
yeah.
when he gets behind in the count. There's just no reason in my mind that I can think of that you swing at that pitch other than I see a meatball, like I'm looking for the one thing I'm looking for, and I know I can drive this. But let's say he ripped a line drive single to right. What happens?
Tati goes to third.
Fernando Tatis gets to third. He's not scoring likely on that play unless you really find the gap and Tatis does his amazing, you know, hey, it's cut off, but Tatis gets there in by a fingernail on a long single because he was running. I think the odds of that are much lower than just let him steal. And you single, there's no way they're going to stop that, you know, if you're Luis Arraez and Fernando Tatis is on second base. Why did he not take that pitch?
Yeah, I have no idea. I thought originally...
I see in the chat, selfish, Arraez trying to play hero ball. If he wanted to play hero ball, then he waits. I mean, he could be the hero.
The ultimate
chance to be the hero.
Yeah, you're not going to, you know, again...
And with no risk to yourself. By the way, if Tatis gets out, it's not on you.
Not on you at all.
You're still hitting.
You're coming up with Tatis on second and the 10th with a chance to be a hero. There's just no logical reason in my mind. Yeah. You know, if you're a power hitter and you think you hit a home run there, maybe. Sure. I don't know, but...
It's right. It's 93 down the middle.
It is. It was a good pitch to hit. I will acknowledge that it was a good pitch to hit.
And again, like, so The counterpoint, not that I agree with it necessarily, but the counterpoint is, if I'm Mike Schilt, I'm like, Luis Arraez has won two batting titles. I'm going to let him dictate what he does in the box, for the most part, right?
Oh, like, I would like assume almost 99.99%
that yes. of the time.
I think it would have been insulting if Schilt walked up to him and said, hey, make sure you take on this first pitch.
I kind of feel like Schilt would say, my players know the game. They know what the situation dictates, what they're supposed to do.
I mean, it was, you know, again, you get to the ninth inning of a game like that, you got a chance to, if you hit a double, if you're Luis Arraez, that's game over, right? You won the game, and I understand, like, trying to do too much, but you also got to know, Manny's behind you. You know, he's been red hot. Let's get it going. You know, let's get it going right here. Let's get some action. Let's put that pressure on, apply that pressure. Hitting a lazy flyout applies no pressure whatsoever. So yeah, it sucks.
He says he was trying to end it with one swing.
I think he knows better.
I don't think Luis Arraez is swinging for the fences. He knows better than that, at least. I just thought
you don't see him swing first pitch very often in general,
right.
And then for it to happen in that moment, in that situation, like I saw like our boy Ray in the chat saying, I don't know why we're harping on this, he flew out. I think we're harping on it because, in my opinion, that was the play of the game.
And it's also a measure of respect for Luis Arraez. In my perspective, it's like, I want him up there with Tatis on second more than anyone else. Let him have a chance to get over there.
Sure.
Let him have a chance to get over to second base and then do your thing.
Yeah.
Work your magic out there. But you didn't give him, you never got a chance. Even if you get a hit there, it doesn't really change the situation.
Yeah,
it brings Manny up. Great. He's hot. I get that. But
even if it's a hit and run, you got first and third.
You can't bring him home on a fly ball. Yeah. If there was one out, totally different situation. Move the runners, get him into scoring position, get him to third base.
But yeah, Ken
but there
says,
was two outs.
Ken says that they're the two best players to do hit and run with. I don't disagree with you there.
A hit and run doesn't help you that much.
But with two
there.
Outs there, the risk reward doesn't make a lot of sense.
Steal is what helps you there.
Steal helps you.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. So anyway, dude, it's.
I was actually pretty shocked that like nobody asked, was there a hit and run?
When you guys were talking at the beginning, I was listening. But I was also poring over Kevin Acey's daily newsletter.
Nothing. I didn't hear, you know, in the part of Schilt's presser that we saw, no one asked him about the pitch to Arraez and why he wasn't taking. I assume there is a take sign, but again, I agree with you. I don't think Schilt employs it very often. He trusts his players.
Yeah.
If anything, they put the steal sign on, and he needs to see that and know, all right,
And Schilt will never.
Well, it's Baz nails it. This is it. Arraez couldn't control himself, and that's why he doesn't walk much. That's exactly right. And again, as a Luis Arraez defender, I think everything he promised us he was going to work on this year has not come to fruition. It's not. It hasn't. He chases way too much. He is the baddest ball hitter in the league.
He's hitting like 333 on balls out of the zone.
Crazy.
He's hitting like 200 on balls
on
in the zone. I don't even know how to.
What
you say to a guy like that?
Yeah, like
stop swinging
stop
balls out
doing?
Of the zone. Well, now I'm hitting 200 because you're not letting me hit the pitches that I actually do hit for hits. I don't know how
and
to
again,
coach Luis Arraez.
I do think honestly, like, does it make sense to move him to the top where you at least know he's not going to K on three pitches? He's going to see pitches. He's going to give the guys behind him a chance to see pitches, how they're sequencing him, all of that. Like, is that a better fit for him?
I might move him down lower. I might put
seven.
Him... Yeah, if your idea of moving Jake up, the guy
that
who
wasn't
does,
my idea, it was Craig's idea.
Craig's idea of moving Jake up and moving him up and maybe switching and having a rise,
it's
batting
tough,
lower
man.
In the order, especially while he's scuffling a little bit here.
It's tough.
And Mike Schilt will will never admit this. He will defend his players. He'll and probably he'll make us sound seem kind of foolish when if we did ask him. But I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't something said privately to Luis. Like,
you got to let him get the bag.
You got to let him get that bag. You got to let him have a chance there to get second base. That's for you too, man. We want you to win the game for us, and you know, let him help you win the game by getting to second base. To me, that was the most frustrating.
I guess when you were
moment
watching
of the game last night,
Fernando, like as he was walking to first base, like the first thing in my head was like,
gotta go.
And I'm just curious if anybody else felt that way when you were watching it. I'm like, is Luis the only one that didn't?
When everyone in the stadium knows a guy is going.
That's the best.
And you're just going, can he make it, though? Yeah. It's Willie Mays Hayes in the playoffs against the Yankees in the one game. You know he's going.
Dave Roberts against the Yankees.
Yes, you know he's going. Can anybody stop it in that situation?
Sucks, man. Sucks. Yeah, listen.
And then you get into the bottom of the 10th, and then Manny gets screwed on a call.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, and you get to the bottom of the 10th, and it was a close pitch to the zone. If it was an automatic ball strike system in place, I know it didn't light up on the TV screen. I think in the MLB.com app, it did. It was one of those absolute borderlines.
Hadn't called it all night.
What Bob Scanlon said after the game was absolutely true. That is never called a strike.
Never.
It wasn't called a strike earlier in the game. It is never called a strike. A ball that is up and Nick Pivetta didn't get that one either. When you throw a pitch, a backdoor that's never a strike and doesn't really come back across the zone, that's just not a pitch an umpire can call a strike in that situation. The way baseball is currently formulated, at least, that's not a strike. I had Dodger fans going, well, what about the strike that was called a ball against Tatis early in the at-bat against Yates? Yeah, Tatis got one that was probably should have been a strike for Yates, but it wasn't a 3-2 pitch. This was a 3-2 pitch that didn't even look like a strike. Manny shouldn't have swung at that.
No,
honestly,
no, you, God, no.
People who say he should have
can't
protected
do anything
there,
with
that's,
that.
That's not a pitch you swing at because it's a ball. It's always called a ball, and that was a big mistake by umpire Mike Estabrooks.
That up and away to a righty from a
don't
lefty.
Swing at
it's
that.
Never.
Don't
never.
Swing at that. Take your chances that 99 times out of 100, a good umpire is going to make the correct call of a ball. You don't protect if you try to swing at that 100 times to foul it off, you're making an out 70, 80, 90 times. You let it go, you're walking 99 times out of 100. Manny did the right thing.
Yeah.
Umpire absolutely screwed him in that situation. Now, you know, first and second, Jackson coming up. He hits a double. Manny might score there. It's a different game, but credit to Mike Schilt. He didn't blame the umpires. He had plenty of other opportunities for the win, but that was a ball that has to be called a ball. Any quality umpire making the correct decision, I would imagine Mike Estabrooks looking back and goes, I blew that one. That was not a strike. And then the umpire cam of Manny arguing.
It was great.
I hated umpire cam the entire game until
that
moment.
Yeah.
And then it was the best use of umpire cam I have ever seen.
CR. I mean, he is in his grill.
CR in the chat says, I love you guys. You're out of your mind. Three-time batting champ sees the pitch to hit. Simple. I that was kind of my counterpoint. That being said,
three-time batting champ who almost never hits extra bases, and you can't win the game on an extra base.
Correct. Like three-time batting champ knows if he gets the second, I can win this game with a single. Just to float one out there. It was not. He didn't have to. You know, he wasn't in protect mode or anything like that. He wasn't trying to foul a pitch off.
It's any other inning and you're looking for a big inning,
absolutely,
keep the line going. Yep. Hey, get Manny up. Chance to get a three-run home run.
No problem.
You need one run to win the game. That's it is it. Over. It's a very unique situation, but in that unique situation, I think you have to take that pitch.
Got to take that pitch.
And then
you can win the game.
We see that statue take that we talk about all the time. We see it all the time from him. First pitch just stands there, and you're like, this was the moment we decided not to do that? I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I was scratching my head all night after that.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a tough loss. Absolutely a tough L. You got to flush it. You got to move on and go out and try to win a bullpen game today against the Dodgers, who have some pretty nasty dudes in their pen. You're gonna have to figure out how to construct the lineup, how to find the lanes. Dylan Cease has to go out and earn his money today. He has to. This is why he's here. Dylan Cease has to go out and show.
Last time Dylan Cease faced a Dodgers bullpen game, it
didn't go well. No.
He was pitching on 3 days rest.
None of it's gone well.
But did not go well the last time. It's funny because you dread a bullpen game. When it's your team throwing a bullpen game, you always go, oh no, we got a bullpen game today against their ace. Somehow the other way around seems to, when it's the Dodgers doing a bullpen game, you actually worry about it more. You know, Dustin May was probably the nastiest pitcher, starting pitcher at least, they're going to face in this series. They got to him. They finally got to a starting pitcher early. It's too bad Nick Pivetta struggled as mightily as he did. Love what Nick Pivetta's done so far. He is a gamer, and he pitches so well with that extra adrenaline. I thought, not going to be a problem against the Dodgers.
It may
have hurt him a little bit last night. I agree.
Oh, frustrating.
You know, I don't know that Nick Pivetta can get more amped up than he already was.
Yeah.
And give, I mean, he's facing a really, really
good
lineup.
No doubt. Good team.
Yeah. The Milwaukee Brewers, hot, you know, their lineup is.
It's easier to navigate the Sal Frelick's and the Chad Durbin's of the world than it is the Shohei Mookie.
There's no
Freddy.
Other lineup in baseball like the Dodgers lineup.
No question.
It is the deepest, most terrifying. I mean, at the top, we know how good it is, but it doesn't really let up. Teoscar's struggling. He was the only guy who went 0-for yesterday,
but crap out of
still
you.
Can. Any one of those guys in that lineup can damage you in a big way at any time.
Yeah,
and they're the only lineup in baseball that they can say that.
And you played like absolute ass, and you lost by one run, and you went to extra. So use it, build on it, whatever. Dylan Cease has got to. Bro, he's got a gut. It's gut check time for Dylan Cease today. You need to win. You know, you need to win. I know it's June, but it's a division game against your rivals, you know, whatever. You got to go out and shove today. And they're throwing a bullpen game at you. This is where you earn your money today, Dylan Cease. 7, 8, whatever it may be. You got to shut these guys down as best you can. Defense has to play better. They have to.
Yeah, if the Padres want to get where they want to go, they're going to need more from Dylan Cease. 1-5, 4.72 ERA. Paulie wrote on our notes here, the Padres are 5-5 in his last 10 starts. Honestly,
I'm surprised.
Better than I thought. Feels like they just don't win any Dylan Cease starts lately.
That's the grit squad coming through in those five wins, man. It's certainly not anything Dylan Cease has done. So he's got to be better, man. He does. He's got to be better today. And again, hey, man, tough order. But these are the guys that you're going to have to go through if you ever want to hoist a World Series trophy. You're going to have to get through these guys. And you've done it. We've seen it happen. You can do it. You damn near did it last night playing a terrible game. And you did it with guys like Tyler Wade coming through for 3 RBI, right? You can do it. They're beatable. They're absolutely beatable. But when your quote-unquote ace with the best stuff potentially in baseball sometimes is 1-5 with a 4.79, that's not going to get it done. Nobody's going to win like
that. Before everyone wants to hit the panic button, Padres lose. But at this time, what are they, 9 games above 500?
Yep.
Yeah. At this time last year, they were 35-35 on June 10th, and they were about to lose 5 of their next 7. So about to fall 3 games under 500. So they're still much better off than they were at this time
last year with a healthier
193 games.
They had a healthier roster at this
pitching
point.
Rotation, yep. And so, they've been doing this tough stretch of games without King, without Darvish,
and Cease,
and really without an effective Cease, and they're trying to tread water. That's what we said when it started. So far so good. They've gone Giants, Brewers, Dodgers, 3 playoff contenders. You've gone 4-4 in those first 8 games.
Yep.
They've treaded water successfully so far. Can they keep it going? It's only going to get harder.
It's just hard because you don't see a 10-game winning streak in this team.
No.
You don't see it.
You don't need as long as you don't give a ton up.
Correct.
That's why you have to keep treading water.
Yep.
All right, we've got Don't Do This is coming up next. We'll take a quick timeout. Then we will come back. I think we need to talk about one of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
No question.
And do this in our next segment. I mean,
and what is wrong with catch probability? You've got to be kidding me. The whole thing needs to be abolished
today.
That
is coming up next with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, gang, let me tell you about QC Kinetics and the great work that they're doing right now. Obviously, the big focus in America today is on your health. You're determined to look beyond pills, steroids, surgery to feel your best. So if you're in pain, you woke up this morning with joint pain, I mean, it's probably a lot of you that did. I know a lot of us do every day. You've done everything they've told you to do. The pain comes back. Look, don't give up. Call QC Kinetics today. Not quick fixes there. Revolutionary treatments that work to give your body long-term relief. You'll meet face-to-face with the QC Kinetics medical team. They'll explain how their regenerative treatments take your body's own healing power. They help heal and restore your damaged tissue. well-respected protocols that include potent and powerful cellular-level treatments. I've done it. I would not tell you to do it if I haven't done it myself, and that it works. It works. It has changed my life completely. QC Kinetics has helped tens of thousands of people like me right here in San Diego. They'd be honored to help you as well. Call them today. Find out if you're a good candidate. Consultation is free. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. Once again, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Get back to the Padres talk in just a moment. First, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Uh-oh, we got an athletic director in hot water. This is out of Tallahassee, Florida, Woods. Florida A&M University athletic director Angela Suggs was arrested yesterday on fraud and theft charges for allegedly using a corporate credit card for personal use totaling more than $24,000 at her former job. So they had an investigation. She left her job at a foundation, the Florida Sports Foundation, and then became the athletic director at Florida A&M. But while she was the CEO of the Florida Sports Foundation, she's accused of taking her company credit card and using it to, like, withdraw money from casinos when she was on, like, trips, like, not just authorized work expenses, but above and beyond what would have been classified as truly a work expense. Now, is there any gray area there?
No, no.
What's truly, do you have a corporate card? I have,
no.
I do have one for my other job.
I don't think I ever have, actually. I've never been given a card from the company to go
really?
Out and use.
Just yeah. reimbursed for your expenses?
Reimbursed for my expenses.
I do have one. Now, the limit is pretty low.
What's the limit?
Like
500, 1,000?
No, so, I think it's like 3,000. Like, so, if I need to buy a plane ticket to go cover something, yeah. I'm supposed to do that myself.
So, like, in a pinch, though, yeah. if you, it was the only card you had, you could feasibly get four new tires and then just let your company know, let me just pay you back.
Yeah, I just don't.
I just pay it off myself.
Yeah, and then
I'll pay it off.
I don't, like, I'll say this is a personal expense. I don't think they want you to do that,
no,
but
there's
if it
no,
was an emergency.
There's no gray.
And I told my boss that would be fine.
There's but, no gray
well,
area of
know,
going to a casino.
But when you're an executive, you know, she's obviously a CEO, an athletic director, and you go and you travel, should everything be covered? What shouldn't be covered?
Your gambling money.
Meals should be covered.
Or your cash.
But excessive meals, I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between down and getting a sub at Jersey Mike's and going down and having like a lavish $1,000 dinner at the steakhouse with, you know, expensive bottles of wine and stuff.
It happens all the time. All the time. Not here, because they don't give us corporate cards. Smart.
Very smart.
Very smart. Smart move. Oh, yeah, so she's in some hot water.
They say she falsified travel vouchers by coding the unauthorized charges as meals.
Did you eat a $2,000 meal at Harrah's the other night?
She claimed some were for business meals. Others were accidentally charged to the business card.
Accidental.
She failed to fully repay the Florida Sports Foundation for her personal expenditures.
You got to be kind of a dirtbag to steal from a foundation, to be honest with you. You really do. Foundations are to help people, and you're stealing.
Usually.
Yeah. All right. Wander Franco back in the news again, and it's not good news. Wander Franco was the former Tampa Bay Rays shortstop, currently on trial in the Dominican Republic on charges including sexual abuse of a minor, was now charged, Ben, on Sunday with illegal possession of a gun. He was arrested November 10th following an altercation that broke out in a parking lot. A semi-automatic Glock 19 was found in his vehicle. Prosecutors request that Franco also stand trial on the gun charge. It was registered to an uncle of his. But, yeah, man, I mean, he's in some pretty hot water for what he did to that 14-year-old girl, as he has tried to... He paid the girl's mother thousands of dollars in cash and other gifts in exchange to engage in the alleged abuse of her daughter. So, yeah, man, one of the when he came up was like, oh my God, look at this guy. He is the next superstar in Major League Baseball. It has not gone well for him. This happened August 2023. Signed that 11-year, $182 million contract in November of 21 and has not played since August
of 23. So, yeah, he continues to, his lawyers continue to maintain his innocence. It doesn't look good for him, but yeah. I would think if you're already on trial, go out of your way to not commit any other crimes.
Correct. Stay out of altercations.
Right.
You know,
clearly,
don't carry a gun that's not yours in your car.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
We don't need guys like that walking around.
Correct. Yeah.
100%. Like, lock him up.
Lock him up. Make him do his time.
Like, you clearly don't understand this. You don't. You don't get
it. You don't get the weight of the situation.
I mean, what you did was so bad.
Right.
And then to just walk around and now have these gun charges, you're like, we can't have this guy just walking around the public.
He's a little bit edgy.
Yeah,
a little bit edgy.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Baseball's been played for about, what, 160 years now. Televised. There's video clips going back now. Oh, century. We oftentimes overuse the phrase. That's the best catch I ever saw. I mean, usually it's really good, but it's not the best catch you ever saw. I mean, we've seen amazing catches. What Denzel Clark, cool name, by the way, of the Athletics did last night in Anaheim is at least in the running for best catch you ever saw. And obviously this is an audio medium. We do have the call, but we will describe it a little more after the call. This was incredible.
And this one to center field. Denzel Clark on the move back after he stepped over to the plate and makes another catch.
Oh, my God.
Back-to-back weeks where he wins the electric play of the week, and he's already on the leaderboard for this week.
Unreal.
You go ahead and book it. I've heard the list. I've seen the list of the greatest catches you're ever going to see in your life. If you don't have room for this one on your list, we're watching two different sports. I mean, Denzel Clark climbs the ladder and then hangs out.
He's sitting basically on top of the fence after he goes
over. He just robbed Nolan Shanuel of a home run.
Sure.
He used his right arm at the top of the wall, which is what, about a 7-8 foot wall there.
I think maybe a little higher, maybe.
And uses his right arm as he leaps high up in the air, all ready to get up there. Then uses his right arm to propel himself up another 4 or 5 feet. So he's about, I'd say 10 to 11 feet maybe in the air when he actually makes the catch of a ball. You know, would it have gone over? Oh, this was going over by about 8 feet.
Yeah, he smoked it.
You know, this was a home run. It was such a good catch, and the Angels did come back to win the game that Nolan after said, I don't know, it's actually kind of cool that I get to be part of that history. That
he didn't look happy
at the time, but after they won the game, he goes, all right, you know what? I get to be part of a highlight that's going to run forever and ever and ever.
Dude, so what you said the catch probability was what? I don't know if I believe this.
So I saw this last night online. I don't know how they do catch probability. They said the catch probability was 95%. Come on.
I mean, on no planet.
I think they're like not counting the wall. Like, oh yeah, if there wasn't a wall there, he goes back and makes the catch. There's a wall in front of him.
That's not how that works,
though. So yeah, if he's playing in the polo grounds in 1950, that was, you know, another 100 feet past that or whatever it was.
He just sprints back and makes the catch.
Sure, 95%. I'm gonna assume on catch probability, you need to factor in the 10-foot wall, 8-foot wall, 9-foot wall,
I don't
whatever.
Think they do, though. So.
I just don't know, man. Like, if that's 95%, that means I could take Denzel Clark out there, throw him the same ball, have the same ball. You're telling me he's going to catch it 95 times out of 100?
No.
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 Like, maybe three times. You know, it was astounding, and I watched it 100 times. It was really, really good.
And that is Don't and Do Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, if you've got some more thoughts on the Padres and the Royals, or not the Royals, we have Padres Royals tickets to give away. If you've got more thoughts on the Padres.
If you're a Royals fan, you want to talk Royals,
Dodgers,
that's fine.
We also have some injury updates, not necessarily great news for the Padres starting pitchers.
I'm so concerned with this, man. Yeah. I can't even tell you how concerned I am. I'm so, it's so dire, I think.
It's, well, it's not encouraging, at the very least. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I'm going to talk about Prize Picks. I got a free square coming up for Game 3 of the Championship Series in basketball. Game is tomorrow night, so you can look over your lineups. It's Daily Fantasy with Prize Picks available to everybody. This time, it's Oklahoma City's Jalen Williams. Just 1 point. To cash that pick. So all you have to do is put Jalen Williams in your lineup, pick more than 1 point, and then combine it with between 1 and 5 more players and win real cash, up to 2,000 times your cash with Prize Picks. These free squares are great, though. Really helps you, you know, doubles your chances essentially at winning. You want to go easy, just pick one other stat. If you get a hunch somewhere, combine it with Jalen Williams, that's a winner right there. It doesn't even have to be basketball. It could be a completely different game. You could be watching the game tonight at Petco Park. And put that in your lineup as well. They don't even have to be on the same day. You got some hunches. Put together your lineups and win real cash with Prize Picks. When you download the app to get started, use our code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup with Prize Picks. Use the code KWFN and make sure you take advantage of special squares like Jalen Williams, 1 point. Just pick more and you're already halfway to a win right there with Prize Picks. Check it out today. Run your game with Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little more commentary on that Denzel Clark do this catch. Torrey Hunter, who knows a thing or two, says, this has to be one of the best catches I've ever seen. And I've seen my share of home run robberies.
That was really,
I mean,
really
even
good.
Baseball players were in awe of that catch last night. Welcome back. Ben and Woods here with you on a Tuesday morning, obviously talking about the disappointing, tough 8-7, 10-inning loss. Third straight Monday that the Padres have gone extra innings. Really starting our week with these long, long days for the San Diego Padres every single week.
Not great.
Before the game, I did have a chance. I want to get to some injury updates. And I did have a chance to talk to one of our friends, trainer Ben Fraser, in the Padres clubhouse.
Love Ben.
And I had always been curious about this, and I finally thought to ask him, because I never could figure out, how do they decide which trainer goes out when a player gets hurt? You know, line drive back to the pitcher's mound, and our friend Ricky runs out, or a guy slides into second and gets spiked, and Mark Rogo, the head trainer, goes out, or, you know, a guy tweaks his ankle down the line, and Ben runs out. And I go, is it based on the player or the injury? Like, hey, one guy handles the lower body, one guy handles the upper body. I just couldn't quite figure it out. There was no pattern that I could discern. The answer he gave me was very honest, and I appreciate him being candid. He said, it's not quite so formalized. He said Mark, who's the head trainer, will almost always go out if he's there. But they rotate and kind of cycle around. Not all three of them are in the dugout for every single game or traveling. So if it's Ricky and Ben who are in the dugout, it's pretty much whoever makes the first move to go out there.
No way.
They just look at each other.
He looks at Ricky. Ricky looks at him. One of them starts taking a step, and usually then Mike Shildt starts yelling, get out there!
That's fantastic.
Someone's hurt.
Get your ass out
there! Just get out there. He's hurt. Go. Get out
there.
Go,
boy.
So he does. He did say Ricky is bilingual. So if it's more of a Spanish speaker, yeah. Ricky will take the initiative. But other than that, it's kind of like, is it me? Is it you? Who's going to go? Just someone take the first step and
that's
go
fantastic.
Out, go out to the field and treat one of our guys out there.
Did you talk to any players?
There weren't many players pregame in the clubhouse. I got some sound from Jeremiah Estrada.
Nice.
Who said great. He was good. You know, everyone asking about the Padres-Dodgers series and, you know, aftermath of last year's playoff. And he said a younger me would have been revenge, revenge, revenge. But I think I've matured to the point where you can't treat these games any differently. It's just, you know, and that's the Mike Shildt attitude as well. It's 1-162. It's important because they're all important games. And Shildt was like that before the game. Bob Scanlon kept asking him, hey, you know, aftermath, or, you know, you got that on your mind? He goes, you're going to hate my answers. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to tell you, yeah, it's really important because they're all important.
Will Smith was asked the same thing after the game. He said, hey, was this a little extra juice? You guys picking up where you left off? He goes, nope, just another day in June. I think it's something you say if you're a player to get your mind right. You can't be sitting in the locker room going, oh, God. Here we go again, squeezing the bat, pacing. Like, that's going to burn you out over 162, would be my guess. You do have to treat. We've always said it, and I stand by it. We care way more than they do. Way more than they do. We take this way more personally at both fan bases than those players. Yeah, they're getting paid. This is what they do, man. They do this 162 times a year. They know they want to win every single game. They know they're battling to win every single game. They know it's not in the cards to win every single game, Ben. You cannot get all jazzed up for each one. You just can't. You can't do it. You will flame out after 3 months, man, of if every game is a game seven. So it's the right mentality to have. I don't believe it. I don't believe it from any of them. But it's the way you have. It's what you have to speak into existence.
Talked to Jackson Merrill. Said hi to Jake Cronenworth. Talked to Tyler
doing?
Wade. He was good. He was kind of on the move, so it was more of just a fist bump. Yeah. And he was on. They were all. I think they were all because of the late return last night. They
got in a little late.
Kind of got in a little late, so they were all kind of doing their thing. And it wasn't the normal series homestand opener. Such a short homestand as well. Just three games.
Yeah.
They're in, and then they're back out to Arizona later this week. So. It was. I saw our former colleague Annie Halbrin.
Oh,
she said she was glad to hear Craig on.
Good.
With us, and I said the invitation absolutely extends to you. When she said, "I don't know if I'm ready yet, but
anytime.
I'll let you know," and I said, "Absolutely." Same goes for her as well. So wanted to make sure that was clear. We weren't picking favorites between Craig and Annie, and she said, "No, I was happy to hear Craig on with you guys yesterday." So that was nice, and
Craig crushed it, by the way.
Yeah,
so good.
Did a great job yesterday, and then we got the injury update before the game. I saw Yu Darvish did 2 innings in the bullpen yesterday, up and down. Like 15 pitches each inning.
Is he ready tonight? Or
not? I don't think he's ready tonight, but you know, hopefully making the same progress. The more concerning update regarded Michael King, and we will get to that after a check of after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Michael Shildt and Mike King. They're both Michaels, honestly. Why can't
I've
he be
never
Mike
heard
King?
Him called.
Hey boy,
sure
hey boy?
Some people call him Mike, right?
He's
Mike,
probably, Mike King. Probably. He's my king when he's healthy and pitching
Mikey.
Well.
I still try to King-y. Remember to call Jake Jacob when I see him.
I just call him Jake.
Now that I've learned
I call him
that
Crony.
Everybody calls him Jacob, but
he's
not
Crony.
Jake. But Mike King, Michael King, when he first got hurt. You know,
call me Stephen Woods from now on. I've just decided.
Slept on it funny on the shoulder, came up feeling it, you know, eventually a few days later was diagnosed with a pinched nerve, and generally optimism reigned, you know, making quick progress, hopefully back, you know, minimum stint on the injured list, and we'll see him sooner rather than later. Hasn't happened, and the update yesterday from Mike Shildt did not seem all that encouraging on how much progress he's been making.
They're gathering information, and it just is not. It doesn't sound great.
Lucas, Tom, what Yu's going to do today? So he's ready for a bullpen.
Here's on Yu.
Bullpen with some ups and downs. So around 15 pitches up, and then take a little break, and then another 15 or so back up again, and see where it goes. That's a good sign, right?
How about Michael? What has he been doing?
Michael's been learning a lot about what he's dealing with our medical staff. Is also on that learning curve of what it is, and still continue to gather a lot of information. You know, rest is the prescription right now. He has played some catch, but nothing too aggressive and consistent. So we're just in a holding pattern to see what is the best way to treat it, if there is a better way to treat it outside of just the rest.
And then,
that's the
like,
worst.
3 minutes later, he was asked about it again and said something along the lines of, like, we're still learning about it. And it was like, the injury or the recovery in the rehab? Injury. Like, we've never really seen anything like
here's
this.
Here's the sense that I get. It's a pinched nerve. It may or may not have happened, sleeping on it funny, but it's a pinched nerve. It's not a common pitching injury, but it's keeping him from getting to the mound. And what I got from Mike Schilt is they really want to find some sort of, like, treatment that's going to speed along his recovery. You know, what is it? Is it
electric stimulation?
Like, is it hot cold
stimulation?
Yeah. What is the treatment that gets it going? And they're frustrated by doctors saying that really is nothing we do. You just wait until it goes away.
So if it's nerve,
that's not a great answer to hear when you've got a pitcher who's making critical in your season and you're going, we need him back. What can we do? Let's do everything possible to bring him back. And
they go, just rest.
There's nothing. You just rest until it goes away. That's what we tell anyone who comes in with a pinched nerve, just rest and it'll go away. When is it going to go away? We don't know. Could be a week, could be a couple months. We don't know when it's going to go away.
Here's the second part of Schilt's answer. Like, this was, I was like concerned. I texted you guys immediately.
The injury itself, specifically, it's not something that is historic to our game. It's not something that players have had. I'm not a medical doctor, clearly, or have any real medical training. So, if anybody's CPR, you're in trouble. I can't speak the specificity of it. All I know is it's not something historically anything we've dealt with in this game, so we're sure get an education around it.
I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, what's
Has
going
Michael
on?
King pitched his last pitch as a Padre? I don't know.
Alex in the chat says, why are you guys going along with this? We ain't stupid. Going along with what?
What?
Going along with what? All I can do is, I'm not a doctor. I don't know his nerve damage. I don't know if it's nerve damage. I don't know. You know, I don't know anything about it. I'm at their disposal of when they want to tell us, hey, he's throwing, he's progressing. Like,
I don't think there's any negligence or malpractice going on here.
No, I don't think so either.
There's simply no real treatments for a pinched nerve. It's not, you know, it's the QC kinetic. It's not a joint
it's
not that kind of issue.
Yeah.
It's simply, you know, something that just has to calm down and then he can get back out there.
It's scary, man. Yeah. Yeah, Elisa says, we know the truth. Yeah, we do, actually. We know the truth, and we're not telling you guys. No, I don't have the foggiest idea as it pertains to a scapula or, you know, again, when it came out that he slept wrong, I'm like, well, I've done that, and my arm's gone numb and things like that, and be like, oh, okay, I'm fine. I'm also not going out and throwing 120 pitches and you know, pitching every 5 days, so I think they're just as scared as everybody else. You know, you need him back. You got to have him back. I said to my wife last night, I go, I feel terrible for him. He's in a walk year potentially, and he needs to pitch. And it's like Dylan Cease too. Like, Dylan Cease is actually healthy. He's just not pitching well. So it is, it's tough. It's really tough. And we're not going, look, make no mistake. We're going nowhere without Michael King this season. Nowhere. There's no way. We're going nowhere. He is a must-have.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere without Michael King back in this rotation. Now, you will not get through the rest of the season, Ben.
Could it end up being a positive? Gets a little break.
Maybe.
And then is strong at the end of the season. I mean, this is a Dodgers strategy now to try to, you know, I don't think they're doing it on purpose, but it could end up, you know, very beneficial. You know, Michael saves a month or so on his arm, month and a half on his arm.
And then comes back
strong, and he's great in the playoffs. It could be just fine. They just don't know what's, you know, how to speed up the recovery.
Yeah, I promise you, I don't. All I can do is take them at their word that they also, when their word is, we also have no idea. I kind of tend to believe that.
All right, we'll come
back.
I have gifts from Jesse Agler for all of us coming up next year on The Fan.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.